Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking Facebook data that leaks, and sure, all data leaks. Isn't that right, Martin?
All data leaks eventually, but Facebook seems to be leaking quite a bit.
Well, it's fair to say that this has been an ongoing thing, but we're joined by our resident expert, and he is Solicitor McGar, Solicitor, Director of Data Compliance Europe, Simon McGar. Simon, good to talk to you again.
Hello, how are you all?
Good. Listen, it's been an interesting day, and I think that was the phrase you used when we were discussing doing this podcast. You might want to give your Cliff Notes version of what has been revealed today.
Sure. So I act for Digital Rights Ireland in wearing my professional hat as the solicitor for that NGO. That's a non-governmental body. Digital Rights Ireland has taken a couple of pieces of very significant litigation in the past. I suppose the most famous one and the one that bears its name was the first piece of litigation ever taken to enforce the Charter of Fundamental Rights, and it overturned the data retention directive for the entirety of the EU. It was also added to the first Schrems case by the Irish High Court so that they could go and make their arguments to the Court of Justice in Luxembourg. The High Court felt that was appropriate, the Luxembourg Court heard from Digital Rights Ireland in relation to that. And as we know, that ended up in the safe harbour data transfer system between the EU and the US being struck down. So they've got a good track record, and I've been acting for them during that period. And their latest has been a reaction to the revelation that Facebook had, that I suppose we should say 533 million people have had their data placed on a file available now for free download, but previously it was circulating for sale amongst criminals for targeting and other criminal activities. So this is for people to be genuinely targeted and for people to have their data mined and misused. So no one argues about this. No one denies that this has happened. And so today, what we have is we've got a first ever case under Article 80 being announced. Article 80.1 of the GDPR allows something to happen which cannot previously happen under Irish law. It allows people to take a mass action against a single plaintiff. And so this mass action it's not a class action, because every individual has to individually mandate Digital Rights Ireland to take an action on their behalf. So the site allows you go on the site. Currently, you just give your email address. Later on, you'll be asked to make the decision, do you want to pay some amount of money? And currently, the exact figure will be somewhere between 50 and 100 euro, just to give you a sense of it. That they'll be asked to pay some amount of money to join as a co-complainant in this litigation. And the aim is to recover compensation and damages from Facebook for each complainant.
Okay, so if you are one of the millions who are affected, this is specific, is this Digital Rights Ireland now, as I understand it, are acting in a capacity here, but with, I think, is it something like 1.5 million people in Ireland alone?
Well, the thing is that there's about 1 million people in Ireland, but that every single person in the EU who's affected, which we estimated something in the region of 100 to 100 million people, has a basis of a claim. And so all of them can join this case.
So
it's not limited to people in Ireland.
How did they know, Simon?
How do we know which?
How does the individual know their data that is being
If
made?
You go to Digital Rights Ireland's website that they've launched, which is a very straightforward page, it's called facebookbreach.eu. If you go to that site, there's a link that takes you to a very reputable third-party body who have managed to ingest all of the leaked information, and you check your phone number and your email against their records, and they'll tell you if you were in the breach.
Going to stop just there for a minute, Tony. It's time to do a plug, and we have to do plugs. There's a reason behind this.
Yeah, no, no one likes having to do plugs. I get really embarrassed about it because I hate having to say to people that this doesn't come along. This doesn't just materialize out of the sky. It needs to be supported. I mean, you used the phrase last week. If you want change, invest in it. I mean, it is really that simple. A few people have actually helped us out. There's been a couple of people chipping in, and I do want to say just we really appreciate it. There are tiers when you go into patreon.com/tortoiseshack. There are tiers. You get different things for different prices, naturally enough. But if you just want, how do I put this? The consolidated.
The basic. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're the full package.
Every podcast that we put out goes out on one RSS feed that you get for yourself for $5.50 a month. With that, you also get access to the Sunday shows, which are doing gangbusters, and some lots of other live shows that go on during midweek. So, like for example, Reboot 100 a couple of weeks ago, that was just an epic 2.5 hour podcast that you'll never get out on main. By the way, I'm not being bad, but simply we might break it up and put some parts of it out, but you're not going to be able to get that sort of live show experience again.
Looking forward, Tony, like we'll be coming out of this, hopefully this lockdown pandemic thing very shortly, and we'll be back doing live shows, and patrons get first preference on tickets, on everything.
And there's discount codes and there's all sorts of stuff. We're trying to do our best to try and make ourselves sound professional. It's not that easy, I can tell you. But like, I suppose one thing that happened this week, Martin, that is interesting is we have another podcast launching soon. We have other people who actually, they have to develop them, guys. It's not just a case of, I want to do a podcast, plug it in here. You know, there's equipment to be purchased because everybody's working remotely. You got to work this out. There's two hosts involved, so that's two sets of kit, all that sort of stuff.
A huge amount of time.
I know, absolutely. But one of the freelancers who I engage with actually sent me a message straight away and said, thanks so much for paying. Because we invoice was sent and they were paid. And I just thought, isn't that just so telling that they were...
We don't stiff anybody with the...
No.
And it takes a village to put out a podcast, to be really honest about it, Tony.
It takes people to support us, because the simple fact is the money that goes in goes back out, and hopefully it gives opportunities to other people to share their stories. That's the main thing. That's the reason we do it.
And it's real simple to do. Look, just patreon.com/tortoiseshack. It's that simple. Just do it.
It's called facebookbreach.eu. If you go to that site, there's a link that takes you to a very reputable third-party body who have managed to ingest all of the leaked information, and you check your phone number and your email against their records, and they'll tell you if you were in the breach.
I suppose what's really interesting here is obviously the precedent it sets. This is new territory. It's groundbreaking, and it's
the first litigation of its sort, and certainly the largest potential pool of litigants that I think an Irish court has ever seen.
And when, like this...
I should say, the largest potential pool of complainants, because in fact, there will only be one litigant. It'll be Digital Rights Ireland.
But the details of this leak occurred a couple of years ago. I'm right in saying that.
We know that Facebook have acknowledged that it continued up till September 2019. And they say they then changed their system to stop the particular method of accessing the data to being available. But they were aware of this prior to September of 2019, but they kind of left it for reasons that I suppose they'll explain in good time.
We know it's going to cost somewhere between 100 and 150 or 100 euros. What's the potential return on that, Simon?
I would say there's two things to say there. First of all, there's a public policy position, and that's one of the major issues that Digital Rights Ireland is focused on. The law of large numbers mean that while an individual's return may be, and we don't have a precedent, but I will tell you that, for example, in the German courts, they've been making awards of between 300 euros and 5,000 euros in respect of claims for non-material damage and loss, which is what the claim is. It's it's not asking that people have physically lost money. It's that this is compensation for the breach that they've suffered. And so we don't know what the Irish courts will come up with. We do know that, for example, in the UK, there was a case called Vidal Hall versus Google, where the UK courts set a non-material loss tariff at about £12,000 sterling for Mr. Vidal Hall by himself. So there's a very wide range of precedent numbers there. We don't have one post-GDPR in Ireland. We did have a case pre-GDPR where the Circuit Court awarded €15,000 to one particular litigant for non-material loss. It was a very unusual case, and it was overturned later in the High Court, though for matters unrelated to the amount of money.
So Martin's question, it's how long is a piece of string? We don't know at this stage.
I've just given you a picture of a very long piece of string that starts at 300 and carries on. But those are other jurisdictions' awards.
And can I ask, I was going to say a stupid question, but all my questions are stupid. Does Ireland, as, again, where Facebook is domiciled, is this why this is essentially why it falls on us to do this?
I mean, I think you would have to look at it in terms of what is the kind of creature that Digital Rights Ireland is. It's a litigant. It has experience in litigation. It has taken actions of this sort to protect people's digital rights in the past and data protection rights. It's recognized by the courts. It was granted a unique status for a non-statutory body of being allowed to take an actio popularis. That's a case where it was allowed to take a case on behalf of the population of Ireland. Very unusual status to be granted to an NGO without a statutory basis. So these are unusual features of Digital Rights Ireland. And I suppose that's what makes it the most likely place. Also, and in addition, the Irish courts have now quite a lot of experience in data protection litigation. It has been the location for the regulator to take its litigation into the Irish courts. And so I suppose, in a way, if you're looking to litigate insurance contracts, you go to London because that's where the insurance industry is. If you're looking to litigate data protection questions, why not come to Dublin? That's where the experience is.
And it's a good point that the courts have been educated on the issue of GDPR. And I know solicitors like yourself and Fred Logue and Ken Fox are do great work educating litigators in these areas. Do you think that you'll get, like, what kind of numbers do you think or hope to get people-wise?
I mean, it's very hard to know. It's very hard to know because this is available to every affected person in the EU. And like I say, that's 100 million people. What proportion of those people will sign up? What proportion of them will be made aware of it? What proportion of them will decide that they're willing to take a punt for €50? And they also, and in addition, it's not really just like looking to try and gain something for themselves. By taking mass action, it creates a massive change in policy waiting. If you are a very large technology company, currently, the rewards for misusing data or being careless with your data usage such that it results in data breach can be very high. They can be extremely profitable. And unless there is a similar amount of risk in relation to that, such that it becomes unprofitable on balance to have a large-scale data breach, I think that we can expect very little in the way of behavior change. And this is really about changing behaviors, not just in Facebook, but across all of the very large technology organizations by making the value of looking after people's data, giving it a real monetary value.
This can't be stressed enough because we've seen over the course of a decade what's referred to as the tracker mortgage scandal in Ireland, which affected over 40,000 individuals. And there was no opportunity for anything like this, Simon. It was, you know, case by case. And when we saw it announced recently Ulster Bank was hit with the largest fine in the history of the financial regulator. And it, I did the sums and it works out about $6,000 per case, €6,000 per case. That was, the rate was incorrect on it. And when you put it in those terms, and when you reverse manufacture it back to what the borrowing rate was, what the Euribor rate was, what the interbank rate was this actually penal? Were the banks penalized enough to change behaviors going forward? Now, I can't comment on that other than to say that the central bank themselves have said there's been no evidence of a change in banker culture and it still needs to be addressed. So fines need to be to a degree where they actually will force a change in behavior. And I think this is a really interesting case that even if you're not impacted, it's certainly something that we should all be watching, because we have seen what was referred to in the US as the Mark Zuckerberg's revolving tour of sorries, where he simply would go around and just apologize and then, you know, go to the Senate and apologize and then come back and apologize for the next breach with no change in behavior.
Well, it's the development of the conception of compensation for wrongs suffered, which has effectively revolutionized over the last 150 years. For example, the safety at work. If you go into a building site in a Victorian age, it was cheaper just to let the odd builder die rather than make sure to spend the money to not kill them. Whereas now, there's hard hats, safety passes, training. There's steel toe cap shoes. There's scaffolding. There's protective netting. The reason that's there is because there's legislation that ensures that it is cheaper to look after people than it is to see them injured. And I think that's really, in the end, the way that you change commercial entities' behavior is to simply change that calculus.
Simon, I'm just looking at the website and how you go and check your number. So it's your email and your number, or can it be one or the other?
In general, it would be better to use the phone number as your check, because that's what's been in most of the breaches. It was a phone number focused breach.
And if the email comes up on its own, is it still worth signing up?
It's always worth signing up, because you're not obliged with anything, and we'll find out more about this breach as time goes on.
That's great. Thanks for that, Simon.
Again, we'll have the details in the blurb. You'll be able to read where you'll be able to check for yourself if you're impacted, and you'll be able to sign up if you believe that it's something that is of interest to you. We are going to leave it there. Simon has been very kind to join us again. Simon, mind yourself and all the best.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Simon.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.